Thanks for tuning in to RCR, Reality Check Radio. Do you like what you're listening to or dislike what you're listening to? Either way, we want to hear from you. Get in touch with us now. You can text us with your message to 2057. That's 2057. Or email us at inbox@realitycheck.radio. We'd love to hear from you, so connect with us today.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Up Your Brave show here with Natalie Cutler-Welsh on Reality Check Radio. I'm so thrilled to have two of my friends who are fellow speakers from many, many moons ago joining me today in the studio. We're going to be talking about conscious leadership and its impact on our relationships. I'm talking to Pat Armistead and Jilly Chater. Welcome, ladies.
Yeah, good morning.
Yes, good morning. It's great to see you.
So good to see you, ladies. And for those of you that don't know Pat or Jilly, maybe you know one of them, Pat is referred to as Australasia's answer to Patch Adams. Pat is the epitome of good humor, unwavering positivity, and creativity. She has the rare capacity to meld her creativity and compassion to champion the human spirit, leading people to find joy where it appeared that there was none. She is a multi-award-winning professional speaker, coach, author, and artist, and her programs foster connection, conscious leadership, emotional intelligence, conversational intelligence, creativity, grief, empathy, and humor in the workplace. As a conscious leader, Pat says the coming years will be about rehumanizing the workplace. Now, many of you may recognize Pat's name because she was a previous guest with me on the Up Your Brave show back in 2023. I'm so thrilled she's here again today with her good friend, Jilly. If you haven't met Jilly before, Jilly Chater equips people for life. She says when people understand how the mind works, they can access untapped potential for insight, innovation, and communication. Modern psychology has begun to understand how to tap the innate wisdom that is available to everyone. And as a valuable resource for all human beings, it is natural, simple, and technique-free, yet allows people to have powerful insights into theirs and others' thinking and into the nature of the human spirit. Her clients' feedback is commonly so simple, yet so profound. Jilly is also an award-winning professional speaker, known as a facilitator of change and transformational leadership coach with many years of global experience in leadership and culture change. Ladies, it is such an honor to have you with us today. And I'm just hoping that over the next 30 or so minutes, we can share some wisdom with our audience that they can apply to life through these fascinating times we're in. I would love to ask you both the same question to start with. What does conscious leadership mean to you specifically? And how did you get into this arena? Jilly, we'll start with you.
Oh, thank you, Leslie. I think it's such a big topic. And I think today we have some not necessarily common understanding of it. We have several understandings of what conscious leadership is all about. My perspective is it starts with self. I'm not talking about somebody heading an organization or a huge team, but conscious leadership is about, am I in charge of my own life? How conscious am I of how I show up from moment to moment and how I handle all the challenges that I may or may not face? It's easy when things are going really well, we are our best selves. However, when things aren't going so well, how do we actually handle ourselves productively and not get stressed out? And I think that's really what we're saying is, what does it mean to be a conscious leader today? And I think it starts with self and at home, whatever your home environment is, whether you're a parent, whether you're a friend who's sharing an apartment together or home, well, we all have some form of leadership. And I think that we limit, oh, that person's a leader, I'm not. Mm. Yes, it starts with self-leadership. In fact, just recently, somebody made a remark about, it wasn't until she came on a workshop with me that she realized that she was a leader. So I think that's what really, you know, she doesn't have people reporting to her. So I think that's, and she's not married. So she's got all that single stuff without having all the other things added on.
Such a good reminder to everybody in the audience. We are our own leader, the leader of our own lives. And thank you for highlighting that again. What about you, Pat? What does conscious leadership mean to you, and how did you get into this arena?
I think for myself, if I begin where I got into it, I had a series of losses back in the year 2000, umpteen losses. And at the conclusion of that, I committed, whatever comes up now, I'm going to go to it. And I think my best description is I really got present to my life at another level. And the acceleration that I could see in my life as I did, as I said I would do, consciously applied myself, demonstrated what was happening. There was this lot of grieving, but also this rise and accruing of skills and outreach and doing well for myself. And there were patterns of that in the past. And I think I've had an innate ability through my capacity for empathy to be able to be with people in difficult times, right back when I was 17 and started nursing. And that has stayed with me and has just deepened. And I see now how I'm called to use my compassion and my creativity to serve humanity.
Mm. I love that. The two critical C's, compassion and creativity. Yeah. And what does conscious leadership mean to you?
I think consciously applying myself. I've been troubled by doubt all of my life. And it's been, I've got 22 awards, probably the same number of certificates, but it was never enough. You know, I was seeking that outer approval, especially from my mother. And along that pathway, I really saw that I was consciously applying myself. So the beginning to own the greatness of who I am, and be conscious of that as I walk in the world.
It's so fascinating, isn't it, when we suddenly become aware of patterns of behavior and things. Like you said, you've collected all these awards and certificates, and it's served you well. And maybe there's someone in the audience listening today that just had an aha moment going, oh my goodness, all these degrees and the PhD, and oh my gosh, it's all because I never felt like I was enough. I mean, we all have some sort of limiting belief. How do we make sure that how do we try to ensure that our limiting beliefs and things don't hold us back from our true potential? What would you say about that, Jilly?
Well, it's interesting, Pat talking all about her certifications and her awards. I'm the opposite. I could have not so much doubting, even though I got things. My thing is, and I can say it today, I didn't that several years ago, is that I've had 5 careers and I've never planned any of them. Because I was one of those people that didn't do well at school. You know, I just struggled through school, although I had very, caring parents, but I struggled. I didn't go to university. I was surrounded by people who did in my life. And so there was that feeling that how can people rely on me? How can I go and do what I do? And it's really interesting when you look back in life, it's a great thing about getting older is you look back and say, oh, my goodness. You know, when I was writing up and I was redoing my website just a few years ago. And of course, I talked about being a teacher at the Cours d'Anglais in London. I was a leader. I didn't see myself as a leader. I sort of someone delivering, teaching someone how to cook. But I didn't see the value that we sometimes are giving out there. And so I think looking back, even if you're younger in life, look back. What have you done? That there'll be those little aha moments, as Pat said, around, oh my goodness, I really did that. You know, that was running a business for a company in London and flying off to Switzerland when I was looking after chalets in Switzerland and girls working in them. I was a leader. I tell you what, it wasn't sitting at a desk and telling people what to do. I had to trust them. And I think that's the thing around conscious leadership is that we create trust around us and people trust us and we can trust them. Because I had to trust people in a different country for me, you know, and we didn't have any modern technology that we have now. I actually used to get on a plane on Sunday to go to Geneva to give them their pay and find out what was going on and come straight back again. So does that make sense? You're saying that, that we don't realize. Yeah.
It's so fascinating. Right. Like you said, to look back at our lives and realize, I wouldn't have called it a leader back then, but that is exactly what I was doing. I was leading. Pat, how can we help ourselves or other people to realize or to unleash or acknowledge the leader within them? Do you find a lot of people saying, oh, I'm not a leader, but then you help them realize they are?
I think so. I think we've come through a cultural setting where we were, told to be quiet, tone yourself down a bit, dear. And not show up in the fullness of our expression. And now it is so critical. it is so critical that each of us in our own way find that potential. And I think probably one of the key things that I've done over the years, especially the last 20 years, is to be asking myself better questions. And one of them would be, how does this forward my game? Or does it? You know, as a creative mind, I tend to get sidetracked by bright lights. There are flippers in my mind and buzzers going and ideas popping. And to stay focused on the one or two major projects requires a discipline from me. And so continually bringing myself in and just having one question draws me back to where I'm going. Doesn't mean I can't do those, but not now.
Let's stay with you, Pat. I want to talk a little bit about relationships now. So we've talked a bit about what is conscious leadership in general, but let's talk about today's topic, the impact of conscious leadership on our relationships. And so you can take this question wherever you want, but you know, a lot of our relationships have had a bit of strain or challenge or opportunity for growth in the past few years. What are your thoughts on that, conscious leadership and the impact that it has on our relationships?
I think one of the biggest things that this last 4 years has taught me is to consider if there's a difficulty facing me, to consider my thoughts and how I'm going to verbalise them, and then have the courage to say what's there for me to say and to pre-frame it with a phrase that says perhaps something like, this requires nothing of you, but this is what's occurring for me and what I would like is. So language around that kind of sandwich helps us to reach a point so that other people don't get triggered by what we say. It's more about having them really hear us and them being able to say, what do you need? Or even me being able to ask, this is what I need. And in a couple of masterminds I've been in where there's been issues and challenges, I've deliberated overnight a couple of times and spoken up in a way I've not spoken up ever. And so that was very, very powerful for me, but it was also very healing and, you know, I like to think did no damage.
You know what's coming up for me as I'm listening to you, Pat, is one of the things I talk about in my business and in a lot of the coaching I do with my clients is looking at, you know, who is the true you and looking at the elements. And I feel like for you, I can so clearly see the truth teller, right? That side of you, but also the nurturer. And when you put those two things together, I'm like, that's why she can get away with it, because you are very, you know, you do tell the truth. You will ask people, you know, questions to bring out the best version of themselves. But because you come from this place of compassion, so this is the nurturing side, you're able to say it so that it lands well. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
So cool.
And and I think that's like a spin-off from my innate capacity to be good human.
Yeah.
You know, this last 20 years especially, I can be more cheeky, more outrageous, more in your face, but by merit of who I am authentically.
Yeah.
And to be able to even bring gentle humor to those difficult times.
Mm-hmm.
I love combining social intelligence, conversational intelligence, and emotional. And I've been exploring that for a few years to bring those together as one is to find yourself in a new place of expression. I proposed at a presentation the other day to a 20-year-old. It was just hilarious. It was
Are you saying, like, literally as a joke, you proposed, like, marriage?
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
And it was hilarious. They laughed and laughed and laughed. He was still laughing half an hour later as he was leaving. So, you know, there was something about what I was saying, how it was landing, and how they were receiving me that was in no way offensive to anybody. But you have to be careful.
You've got to be able to read the room, but obviously that it worked. Yes. It worked for them. That's so cool. What about you, Jilly? Let's talk about conscious leadership in terms of the impact on our relationships. What have you seen either with the executives that you worked with or just generally in your career and in the past few years specifically, how people can use conscious leadership to maybe enrich their relationships?
Yeah, they start with the way that I spend time with those people. I mean, some of my clients I've had, they've been my clients for over 20 years. I mean, wow. That is a long time. And then sometimes they've moved organizations, so they've now gone in a role somewhere else, but they sort of take me with them. And you think, well, surely, you know, they've learned all they've learned and they don't need me. They see me as someone who brings some freshness for them in their role. And I think that's my role as a transformational coach and facilitator of change, is that I help people to see things that they can't see for themselves. And I think, you know, here in Pact, we've been on those discovery journeys for many years, and we've seen things that we haven't seen for ourselves. And it might be a bit premature in what we're talking about here, but I'm going to say it anyway, is that it was in 1997, I had quite a challenging year. My father had died in the October of 96. My mother died 8 months later, and they both were in the UK. So I was backwards and forwards from the UK. And although I lived physically a long way from them, I was very close to them. And it really shook me. I think I've managed to just about hold myself and my father. But then with my mother, it was almost like, I just don't believe this. 8 months later, she's gone. And I was in a very fragile state. And luckily, I had a wonderful GP. So he sort of sent me off to see someone, only just to have a chat with somebody. Because I thought I was being totally ridiculous and abnormal and gone crazy in the thoughts I had. And all I did was do what I listened to people. She listened to me. And I just talked about this. Mm. But what was interesting was that about a month later, this is a crucial life-changing moment for me, and I've had many of them, but this was like it. That in 1997, I was in the States and I was on a research trip for our company around the whole area of leadership development. I'd heard about some things, different approaches. So I was just sitting at the back of the room watching this whole event going on, but I was very fortunate. I had a coach. Every afternoon I had an hour with a coach. And we were just talking about all sorts of things. She knew I worked in the whole area of leadership. And we discussed the things about my personal situation. And then I said, I've just met this man about a month ago. And of course, we didn't have email to ourselves then in 1997. It had to come through the hotel and you get signed into somewhere and you get your email. And in the email, he said, I'll meet you at the airport on Saturday. So there I'm talking to my coach there, Linda. And, well, what if he isn't there? What does that mean? You know, thinking by whole lack of self-confidence, self-worth, whatever was going on in that particular moment in my life. And she turned around to him and she said, well, he'll either be there or he won't. So what's the point of worrying about it? And it was like, it just like hit me so hugely that I spent so much of my life worrying about the what ifs of the future. And that really is the foundation of what I work with. You know, we're not present. We're not probably leaping ahead to the place we're going on. But it's so important that we're just unconscious. I was unconscious of what I was doing. And I talk about this to my clients. I share that story with them openly, whether it be in a workshop or personally one-on-one coaching. And it's like, it's amazing. People say, yeah, we do. I'm always in the future worrying about this and worrying about that. And then we're not present. And then we can't listen to people. And the biggest thing for leaders is to be able to listen to other people, but also listen to what's going on in our heads. Oh, my goodness. That's what's going on. No wonder I feel like that.
And how do you approach life now? Like, do you have a certain catchphrase or a mantra or something, that a philosophy that you use, like with life for yourself?
Not so much a phrase, right? Just noticing my feeling state. You know, notice that my feeling is immediately telling me how I'm thinking about anything or everything. And if I get that, what I call that crunch feeling in my stomach, for me, some people get it in their neck, some people tense up, whatever it is, I just know, even if my husband says something, I think, oh, just calm down. Don't open your mouth because you'll come up with something you regret. And it's staying in that whole present, totally present moment. There is no past, there is no future. And when we're in that moment, it's incredible. Just things relax. It's all the stuff that's going around in our heads, and what if, and what if, and oh, and that happened, and you know, so we're in the, back in the past, and the history, and all the garbage and baggage we have, or we're worrying about the future. But there is only now.
Speaking of now, if you just joined us, you're listening to the Up Your Brave show here on Reality Check Radio. Today, we're talking about conscious leadership and its impact on our relationships with Pat Armistead and Jilly Chater. Pat, I'll go to you, and I'd love if we can segue into some practical tips that we can maybe share with our audience today around this topic of conscious leadership. I know you're a big advocate of the power of presence as well. Do you want to share some thoughts on that and then tell us a few practical strategies that you like to use yourself or with your clients in order to be in that state of conscious leadership?
One of the things that I think helped me particularly this last 20 years, getting up in the morning, spilling onto the page, even if you had nothing to say, the toaster was, you know, broken or you had a flat tire. It's like, if that's got to say, well, just write it. And then if you can't think of anything to say, well, write that. And it's like as you clear your mind of the fog and the mess, then it's like tidying your desk. And you arrive in the day in a much more ordered fashion. So I've continued that, but now I don't necessarily do it first thing in the morning, but I will do it when I feel I need to. And getting them on the page is a way of impressing on the universe. I invite clients to press really hard on a page and write the word love. And then I ask them to pick up the page and feel the indent of that on the back of the page. And I put it to them that they have made an imprint on the universe. And, you know, we downplay the impact we can have. So all of these small things that we do, I love the four agreements. I love in particular being your word. I manage old KFC building off Arewa Council for $1.
Oh, Pat, you're glitching in and out a little bit. I'd love to invite you to just turn off your video and maybe it'll improve. So Pat was just talking about clearing your mind, doing some daily journaling to release some of the thoughts. And I love that activity that she shared about making an imprint by writing the word love and then feeling on the back. That's so cool. What about you, Jilly? What are some practical tips or strategies that you can share with us today?
I'm always cautious about sharing tips and strategies because what works for one person may not work for someone else, which is why I tell stories more.
Yeah, give us a story. Perfect.
Because then people can see it for themselves. So I had something happen I'm coaching two different people at the moment who are both leaders and they both are married with children. And the first time I met one of these leaders, he told me that he has to finish work at 3 o'clock so he can pick up his children from school. So in my mind, the children were little and needed looking after, right? So I was thought that's a bit strange that he has to do that, but obviously his wife can't, so he does it. So what did he tell me when I meet with him? Oh, how old are your children? Oh, he said 16 and 14. And I went, my mouth just dropped open. I said, you pick them up from school every day? I said, is that really being a leader to your children, that you can't trust them or you're too worried about them? Are we getting in the way of them becoming responsible human beings? And so that people realize that it doesn't matter whether it's being the dad or mum to a child or it's being a leader in a workplace somewhere or wherever we are in a volunteer organization, it's all the same. And I think sometimes people don't step up or step out is because they're confined by the person who's led them, not even today, it might have been last month or last year or at any time, and it stops them breaking through. So I think rather than giving, so, you know, what works, I think it's discovering what works for us. And as Pat said just now, when we're totally in that present state of present moment, we're not worrying about what we're thinking about. And she talked about the aha moment. Out of the blue, it suddenly comes to mind, oh, I know what I can do. How come I didn't think of that before? Because I was so busy with all my thinking going on. Mm. And people are too full of what they want to say next and ask rather than just being in the present. And
you know, what was so interesting? Go ahead.
I just want to say that. So being okay with saying, actually, I don't know the answer right now. I don't know. But doesn't mean to say I won't know it in another moment.
Yeah. You don't have to know, maybe.
Yeah, and creating that space for us to have that new thought.
Well, the thought that I had when you were sharing that story, I actually thought it was going to end a little bit differently. I thought you were going to say that he picked them up from school to take them out, you know, now that you knew they were 14 and 17, to take them out for a coffee. And I was like, oh, like what dad would literally, I mean, no, in a positive way, I'm like, what a legend. What, you know, how many other dads do you know that would pick their kids up, you know, make it a priority and pick them up at 3 o'clock after school? So I guess it's a different interpretation of the situation.
And guess what? Doesn't pick them up anymore.
They're probably like, dad, it's too embarrassing.
Yeah, they are. They're relieved. That's in 3 weeks. That's changed his whole life.
So interesting, isn't it? All right. So I hear you with the, yeah, it's interesting. Different strokes for different folks. Different things work differently for different people. I absolutely agree. But sometimes if you can share an activity or a question that you ask people to prompt them to really start to reflect on their own conscious leadership or another story, what else can you share with us today, specifically around relationships as well?
Well, thinking for oneself, I just think, where am I, might I be getting in the way of someone else taking personal responsibility? I think we wrapped ourselves around people. We become so protective of people that our resilience we're born with is being sort of restrained. That's the word I want to use. And we need to see that people are resilient. You know, little children, we know they bounce back in no time because they're not worrying about stuff. You know, they live far more in the present moment. Yeah. And I think that's really what we're going to focus on, is that resilience is something not from the outside in, it's inside out. And we have it there. It's always there. And the only thing that keeps us from feeling resilient is what's going on in our heads. So my little catchphrase is, don't overthink it. Yeah.
Well, exactly. But I love that topic of personal responsibility, because I think so often people are so used to just being told, you know, what they can and can't do. We've definitely encountered that in the last 4 years. And going back to people taking responsibility for their own behaviors, their own actions, their own emotions and things, it's such a good reminder. Let's go to you, Pat, because I know that you watch and read a lot of Jordan Peterson's work. I think you've got a story to share with us about that.
Yes, I was privy to one of his presentations that he was doing, and a man in the audience challenged something that he'd said previously. And he said to him, you are going to become stronger, more confident, more credible, and a better communicator in precise preparation to the burden you decide voluntarily to confront and master. And it's got to be the most powerful sentence I've heard this year. And I've just taken it on for myself to really, I can feel the words rolling around on my tongue. And it's like, you know, if we were to simplify that.
I was going to say, I know that, can you keep the words rolling along your tongue? And for those of us that have just heard it for the first time, what does that mean to you? Can you break it down for us?
When you can be your word, when no one is looking, then you are absolutely living an authentic life. And you need to do the work yourself. You need to do the work on yourself so that you can show up in that authentic space, which is what he's talking about there, the burden that we decide voluntarily to confront and master. So for me, the last 20 years has been, I'm up for it. Whatever comes now, I'm up for it. Mightn't have liked it, but I'm up for it. And the fear that can be in front of us parts. It's just like, I can feel it on my face now as I'm talking. It's as if we walk through, we can feel ourselves walking through the earth, even if we're not moving. We've moved through something.
Do you feel like more people are up for doing the work now than before? Have you noticed a trend in the different way people respond to some of the questions that you're asking, or as they lean more deeply into consciously leading, becoming a more conscious leader?
Yes. I did a big presentation just before the COVID phenomenon, and worked with 450 business leaders for 15 months, delivering a mental health in the workplace program, but very geared to supporting them to be having brave conversations.
Good.
And every single session over that 15-month period with these leaders, 20 people at a time roughly, just astounded me. In the past, if I had a room full of, because they were predominantly men, prior to this, if I had a room full of mostly men, they might all be sitting left leg crossed over right, arms folded, and you can tell, right, I've got some work ahead of me to get them to uncross their arms. And these men shared at a level of intimacy I'd not experienced before. One man said to me at the end of the day, he stood up and there were tears brimming in his eyes, and he said, Pat, he said, I need you to know I'm going home today to be present to my wife. He said, I never realised until today that my wife suffers with anxiety and has for a long time. And by now the tears are rolling. Mm. He said, and I never saw it. So that was profound. The other men in the room stood up around the boardroom table and he got a standing ovation. That signified for me the biggest change.
Absolutely, because previously
I've seen. Previously,
other men might have maybe felt awkward. They might have felt awkward or, with the man actually, showing the emotions. But the fact that they gave him a standing ovation is like just really endorses the impact that session had with him, obviously. But the men really, men supporting men, which I think is so critical. So that's such amazing work that you do. What about you, Jilly? I know that you've got someone that you've been following, Peter Senge, I believe. Did you have a little story about him?
Yes, well, I was first introduced to him some years ago, as far back as 2012. I didn't read the book then. He and three other experts in the area of leadership wrote a book called Presence. And in the introduction, see, before you get into the book, a statement caught me immediately, and I'll just read it to you. We first thought presence was being fully conscious and aware in the present moment. Then we began to appreciate presence as deep listening of being open beyond one's preconceptions and historical ways of making sense, which actually links into what Pat's talking about with her people. And so deep listening is only available to us when we have a quiet mind, not a busy mind. And that's the place for insight. Insight comes from a place of not knowing and being okay with not knowing. And rather than, and I always say, if you've got a brand new company, startups often go so well, don't they? You see them and they're roaring ahead. And one wonders why, but they've got no history. They're not going to say, oh, we did that 3 years ago and it didn't work. So they get to a certain point. And then, of course, we've got all this history behind us and we're afraid to just go into that place again of, actually, I don't know what's next. So that creates that space for letting come, for something to occur and appear out of the blue. You know, we talk about something's out of the blue. Where did that come from? And I was very fortunate because many years ago, although I hadn't read the book then, I was coaching people from Nokia all around the world. And of course, English was a second language for everybody but two people I coached. And quite often, and we didn't have Skype or Zoom. And I'd be listening to these kids, that whole area of listening of not knowing, I hadn't got a clue what I was going to be saying. But I discovered, I just listened on the phone and I suddenly would occur to me, and I'll give you an example. This man was in Thailand. He was presenting all the time. He's Italian. He was presenting all the time. He said, I'm having a real problem with these people. They don't understand what I'm talking about. And it's really difficult. Well, I don't know if you've had how many times you've heard Italian speaking English, but they're pretty fast and loud and anyway. And I went, it just suddenly came to me. Oh, my goodness, how often do I have to ask him, could you just repeat that again, even though it's in English? And I said, oh, maybe they don't understand you, because your English is Italian accent English and they're Thai. And he laughed. He said, my wife tells me that all the time. So I said, well, maybe it's time for you to listen to her. And, you know, we're not even aware, not even conscious that we're the source of the problem. But I had no idea. I'm sitting in another country, have no idea what's going on. And I had no idea how I was going to help him. So it wasn't prescribed. It wasn't like, in this situation, do this, or in this situation, do that. I haven't got a clue. And I could just say to myself, oh, where did that come from? It just comes from out of the blue.
So I feel like part of that, Jilly, is for leaders, taking from your story, is allowing themselves that space to not know and not have the ready-made answers. So you talked about, quote-unquote, insight comes from not knowing, being open to the curiosity, but also the intuition, maybe. What do you think?
Absolutely. The two link, totally. Mm-hmm. Is what does my gut feel say right now? Because so easy we go to our intuition, and then people don't trust their intuition, so they go and analyze it. Now we're into the intellect. So when you're in the intellect, the intuition's gone out the window for the time being. So it's trusting that intuition. And sometimes we can't, and I say intuition is, it feels right or wrong, but you can't explain it. If you can explain it, you've already gone into analytical state, and that's the intellect. So we've got to be more in the intuitive state and less in the intellect. There's a place for the intellect, but often it gets in the way. And it's just like parents knowing a child is sick or ill.
Mm.
And I've had that happen with my vet. I don't have any children, but, you know, my cats are the children. And I can remember a vet saying to me one day, and I took my cat to a vet on a Sunday, he said, mothers just know. Their mothers just know. I just had that sense, that incredible human being sense that we have. And I don't think we nurture it enough and allow it to flower and grow, and, you know, because we fight it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We tend to start with it, but then it gets quashed a bit. Pat, something I know you believe really strongly in is children having the answers. So speaking of intuition and curiosity, can you elaborate on that?
Yes, I've been with my oldest grandson, who's 11 now. We've written collaboratively 11 books. The words have come out of his mouth and I've just transcribed it. And along that pathway, one day we were both just sitting at the dining room table, and he was drawing a broken heart with some happy things in one side of the heart and sad things in the other side. And I didn't say anything. I'm just watching. And then when he was finished, he turned to me and he said, Nana, he said, you know, happy and sad things both belong in the heart.
Mm.
So perhaps he was 6 or 7 then. And I just really was left in awe and wonder of what they're seeing, what they're appreciating. They've got, at that age, they've got no filter.
Yeah.
And so they're receiving and seeing it all. And they do, you know, they go with the next thought, whatever comes through. And my other little grandson, who's 3, I spent the weekend with them. And all weekend, every time he saw me coming around a corner, he'd act surprised and run and give me a hug. Then he would go, Mom, come, he's 3, come. And so Mum would come, look at me down the corridor, and he would go, hug him, to his mother, meaning him being me. And his mother had to hug me. And I don't get a lot of hugs from my daughter-in-law.
He just knew.
Yes.
Wow. So cool.
He knows. So, you know, we can get lost in, oh, they don't like me, or, you know, it doesn't matter what I do. No. We're being received, and whatever's happening in the other person's mind, body, is not the truth. So I think remembering that too.
That sketch that he drew is such a powerful activity that I think people even can do. Draw a heart that's broken in the middle, and on one side, the happy things, on the other side, the sad things. Because so often we don't acknowledge our emotions. We don't give ourselves permission to be sad. We just be like, oh, I should be happy. Other people have it worse. So what an insightful young boy.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yes. All right. We're going to go to the Up Your Brave questions. I'll stick with you for a moment, Pat. If you were to truly up your brave in 2024, what would you do?
I'm on a pathway to do that. I've been an artist most of my life, but I want to manifest my own solo exhibition. I've exhibited and sold in New Zealand, but not in Australia. So I want this solo exhibition to come forth. And I'm writing my third book, Joyful Empowerment, The Only Way Out Is Through, and that's my story. So both of those I want to achieve completion on this year.
All right, in 2024, and so it is, it's been said. What about you, Jilly? What would you say for if you were to up your brave in 2024, what would you do?
To start my book, because I've talked about my book. It's been a joke with my speaker friends for a long time and the group that I'm in. And so I think it's that starting point. And just as Pat says, just write. Doesn't matter what comes out, just get it out there. And I do know someone who specializes in writing. He gets to people to talk about their origin stories. And I think that's my first step is to
yes.
do that. So I'm not going to try and complete it by the end of this year because that you set up a goal that's not necessarily going to work because quite often it takes longer than that. But that's absolutely clear. And it's the first thing I wrote down when you said, well, you're brave. And I thought, well, I'm pretty brave about most things, but it's sort of like, I'm one of those people, I wouldn't want to write a whole book and then someone said, that's used to start again. I think, well, I wasted all that time and energy writing a book. That's what's got in the way for me.
Well, so interesting. Well, you can release that fear and you can, I think that's a great concept, is just so you're upping your brave is to start it in 2024. So before we clock over to 25, you're going to start. And as a speaker, obviously the obvious way to start would be to speak, and you can record yourself or do one of those transcription things. But it is great to have those prompts and have those questions like your origin story as well. All right. Well, let's find out from both of you ladies. We would love to know what is coming up for you and how can we connect with you? So we'll stay with you, Jilly. What's coming up for you and for the rest of 2024 in terms of anything, anywhere are you speaking or do you have any courses or events or anything like that? And how can we connect with you online?
Well, I'm considering since COVID, I haven't run a whole of my own workshops, only with do work with clients when they want me to do something in-house. Mm. But I'm considering having a program online with people so that it doesn't matter where they are. And my life has been online for years, mm-hmm. on the phone before we had the online. And so I'd be really happy for anybody who's interested to learn about more. And then I would have a conversation, even if they're only about four or five people, then what would you like to get out of it? And then like I do with my clients and then say, okay, I'll put something together that yeah. people can participate in.
Amazing. How can we find you online? Are you on LinkedIn or where?
I'm on LinkedIn. You'll find me, Jilly Chater, on LinkedIn. Yes. I don't do much on Facebook because I seem to be having a big problem with Messenger at the moment. I think there's lots of scams going around. So LinkedIn's probably safer to contact me.
LinkedIn is the go-to. For those of you that want to check out the links and all the information on the replay page, I'll put the link there. But if you're going to LinkedIn, I'm going to spell it for you. Jilly Chater, G-I-L-L-Y, Chater, C-H-A-T-E-R. What about you, Pat? What's coming up? How can we connect with you?
An initiative that's almost ready to launch is a future flourishing program that I'm adding to my repertoire. And this is all about supporting people to be fully self-expressed, whatever that means for them, and just harnessing all of the talents that they see or don't see and bringing those forth. So in 2004, my coach said to me, you know, what vision do you have? And one of the visions I had then, I said, oh, maybe I'll have a school of creativity. So I feel that's leading into this.
It is so important to have a vision, isn't it? Where can we find you online? Do you have a website or are you on the social channels?
Yes, patarmitstead.com is my website. And you'll find me just under Pat Armitstead on LinkedIn and Facebook. Thank you.
I'm going to spell it for them. Pat, P-A-T, Armitstead, Armitsteadcom. We're going to put all the links on the replay page. Ladies, one final closing comment from each of you. Is there anything else you want to share with our audience before we wrap up? Go ahead, Jilly.
I was going to say my website is just jillychaser.com, so it's easy to find me there.
Perfect. Thank you so much. And what else? Is there anything else you want to share with our audience, Jilly, while I've got you before we say farewell?
I don't think so. I think I've said enough. I could tell you masses of stories and show it, give you examples, but I think it's best if people would like to know more is for them to contact me personally, and I'd be really happy to do that.
Amazing. Any closing thoughts from you, Pat?
Yes, I think, and this came from a conversation I had with Julie recently, where we look at the future, which can look a bit alarming at times. Mm. I think it can be so easy to turn away, but it's much more braver to turn around. So to keep those two little mini phrases in your mind, I have two choices here. I can turn away or I can turn around. And the, as I said earlier, the as we go to it, whatever it is, it disappears. So, you know, the fear dissolves.
Mm. So powerful. What a lovely way to finish. I've written down, instead of turning away, maybe it's time to turn around. Thank you so much, ladies, for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much indeed. It's been great. Thank you.
We have been talking to Pat Armitstead and Jilly Chater on the topic of conscious leadership and its impact on our relationships. Thank you, ladies, and thank you, everyone, for listening.
Thanks for tuning in to RCR, Reality Check Radio. Do you like what you're listening to or dislike what you're listening to? Either way, we want to hear from you. Get in touch with us now. You can text us with your message to 2057. That's 2057. Or email us at inbox@realitycheck.radio. We'd love to hear from you, so connect with us today.